The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, in the green scene, we'll be talking about declining wildlife populations nearing the point of no return in some places. But first of all, jet contrails. You know, those lines in the sky you see. Good morning, Ruth Freeman. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, fascinating. Sometimes you see a jet glinting up there in the sunlight at high altitude. No contrail at all. And other times there are contrails. Why?
You do. Well, and what a contrail is, they're basically clouds. I mean, for want of a better term. So they're formed because jet engines emit soot particles, and then up at high altitudes, ice crystals form around those soot particles, forming essentially a cloud. But as you say, it doesn't happen all the time. And the reason why we're very interested in contrails is because it appears that the effect of those contrails could be playing a big part in how much aviation warms the planet. In fact, they could be responsible for over 30% of the warming emissions of the aviation sector, because, of course, when clouds form, they can trap heat underneath them. But clouds are complicated because they can also reflect sunlight. Yeah. So what researchers are trying to do now is to really understand what is going on with these jet contrails, and are there ways that we could intervene to emphasise maybe the positive cooling effect of these contrails and diminish the very negative warming effect
that
they're having.
So why don't all jets make contrails all the time?
So it's to do with lots of different things. Humidity in the air, so how much moisture is in the air. And
so
also
if you don't have enough moisture,
yeah,
no contrail.
Really high altitude where it's very cold and very humid is the place where you're going to get a lot of contrails. And of course the benefit is now, and particularly with things like AI, we can look at very complex data sets which are taking into account, you know, the route of the flight, the timing, the fuel, combined with where it's going to fly. And that's really what this new research is all about. Researchers have been looking at hundreds of thousands of satellite images of contrails, and they're combining that data with real-time temperature data to see what's going on.
And are they talking about maybe diverting flights along different routes in order to stop the contrails forming?
That's exactly what they're talking about. And not only are they talking about it, they've done some tests. So as well as this happening in universities, actually Google Research have done some work with American Airlines. And what they did is using Google's AI technology, they developed sort of contrail forecast maps. So exactly as you were saying, finding those areas where contrails are most likely to form. And then there were 70 test flights done over a 6-month period. And the pilots actually adapted to go around these sort of high contrail forming areas. And they were able to reduce the contrails that the planes produced by 54%. Now, they did burn a little bit more fuel because they had
problem,
to reroute.
It
is a problem, but only about 2% extra fuel. And of course, one of the things that's interesting is that if we have this immediate cooling now, and it can be up to as much as 3 degrees. I mean, we all know how it feels on a cloudy day versus a day when there are no clouds. So it can be quite significant now. So it does help us with the immediate. And in many ways, the carbon emissions that the planes' engines are emitting are also a problem. But it does sort of deal with today.
But why don't we want contrails then if they're going to reflect the sunlight back off the Earth?
The problem is that at the moment, most people live in the northern hemisphere. And this research is also showing that the vast majority of contrails are forming at night. And that's the worst time. There's no reflection back and it's trapping all the heat. And that is also because we have longer darknesses in the winter in the northern hemisphere. But rerouting flights to the day, flying during the day, these are promising things that could potentially cut the immediate impacts of aviation.
For people
by
living
50%.
Near airports, night flying and all that, they could get relief from this.
They could. Now, the only problem is contrails can hang around for a few hours. They can hang around for up to 14 hours. So morning flights are really the best time. And obviously, the light and dark changes. But that's where big data can help us. It can help us to come up with an optimised solution.
Okay, now on to declining wildlife populations near the point of no return. And we're talking about ordinary things like rats and squirrels and butterflies.
We're talking about all sorts of different kinds of species, and we're talking about it because the Living Planet report just came out, and this is a report that comes out every 2 years. It's from the World Wildlife Fund and the Zoological Society of London. And what they do is they look at thousands and thousands of populations, over 35,000 populations all over the world, and they look to see what is happening to those populations. And their baseline is 1970. And what this report says, I mean, it's not a huge change from 2 years ago, as you might expect. But we're seeing in places like Latin America and the Caribbean a 95% decrease in populations, 76% in Africa and 60% in the Pacific. Europe and North America are about 40% decrease, but that is because they suffered very significant decreases in their wildlife prior to 1970.
But in Africa, for example, if you've got a 76% decrease, for every, say, 100 elephants, there are only 24 left.
Exactly. And I suppose that is the key thing to talk about. I mean, these headlines are really quite terrifying. And I think they produce a huge amount of anxiety in people. And there are some scientists that are saying that this isn't the best way to represent the data. Because what they do in this is they look at individual populations. So there might be a population of elephants in Tanzania in a particular region, and then another population of elephants somewhere in Namibia, for example. And they look at the change in numbers in both of those populations. So actually, when you delve into the data, about half of the populations that they looked at, if you look at those small groups, were stable or were actually increasing a bit. Mm. But the other 50% were all showing highly significant declines. And of course, that makes sense, because if we think about the things that are having the major impact on wildlife, I mean, land use is of course, habitat loss and land use is the big issue. And of course, if you are changing the use of a piece of land, I mean, you might wipe out the whole population of a particular wildlife species that lives there. So what you're seeing is very significant decreases, possibly down to nothing in some places. Well, I mean, the big thing I think that we need to focus on when it comes to biodiversity is this idea that we need to leave 30% of the planet for all the other species, apart from humans and the things that we domesticate.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem like such a huge ask. And this is all about supporting things like our marine protected areas, making protected areas based on good science, and really making sure that we then protect them and leave them alone. I was really struck by a commentator, you know, during the week saying, there's no real wild spaces left in Ireland. Yeah. It's all curated space.
Yeah.
And we need
back the bogs, rewild the bogs.
Rewild and leave alone and protect what's left that's not disturbed yet.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.